Elliot Friedman. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Really good.
Doing great. This is, you know, for what we were expecting, I was excited yesterday, looking forward to what would be, because this looks to be a year because of what teams need to do for expansion, where a lot more was going to happen than what we're used to.
Yeah, it's definitely a wild time. I mean, you know, you hear a lot of stuff. You don't know how much of it is true. And it's difficult to, you know, especially some teams. Like, some teams are quieter than others. There's some GMs you can bounce. You know, I'm not going to say yesterday, but I texted one GM and I said yesterday, or two GMs, and because I heard there was a trade coming between the two of them, and they were talking about something, and I sent each a note, can I run something by them? And I never heard from one, and the other, you know, he called right away and said, what are you hearing? And I think it shows you the difference between some organizations just say, you know what, I'm hunkered down, I'm not going to worry what's out there, and there's other organizations that are like, I want to make sure that of what your information is, because I don't want anything getting out there that's false and starts getting my players or team in a panic. And I think there's a lot of that going around right now, and you're just trying to sift through the truth of the fiction.
I was going to say, pre-internet, it's amazing probably how teams could sort of keep lids on this kind of stuff. Do you love this expansion stuff? Because it's like, this is the kind of stuff pre, when you could do a fantasy league for everything, that we talked about as kids. So when a team would come, and this happened a lot when you and I would have been the same age as kids, and there's the San Jose Sharks coming into the league, there's teams folding, there's the WHA teams coming in. That takes me back to it. I get excited about these kind of Golden Knights type things.
Well, the thing I really like about it, Greg, is that it creates interest. Like, nothing, yeah. I think that's unfortunately one of the things about the salary cap that's really hurt the league, is that it's harder to make trades now, and fans love trades. Now, I know players hate them, they hate the speculation, and I do respect that, but you're always trying to drum up interest or have, you know, people excited about your sport, and whether people like it or whether players or organizations like it or not, there's few things that get fans as whipped up as trade rumors or this kind of stuff. So, like, mm-hmm. it's a Twitter frenzy right now. And what the Golden Knights and their arrival has done is create all sorts of speculations and speculation, and fans love it. They can't get enough of it. I mean, your feed is constantly, what are you hearing about this? What are you hearing about that? You haven't said anything about my team lately. You got anything on them? So I think the fun thing about being in the middle of it, aside from just the sheer craziness of it all, is just that the fans are really into it. They're excited.
And no doubt excited in Montreal yesterday, as they have a French player to cheer for now. But legitimately, on both sides of this equation, you could ask, how good is the player we're getting?
You know, I think that is, you can look at that deal and say it's a hockey deal. You know what it kind of reminds me of? It's another trade that that the Montreal sports fans will remember, Elliot. It's sort of like Pedro Martinez for Delino DeShields. It's young for young, and you don't see a lot of teams do that anymore. And, you know, what I think the Canadians are getting, you know, I look at this deal, and last year, you know, the Canadians wouldn't give up Sergachev for Duchesne. And he made it very clear, Bergevin did, in a media conference he had before the deadline, that we are not giving up our best young players. And, I remember we had him on Hockey Night in Canada. I asked, who are you talking about? And he basically said, yes. So we all knew what he was talking about, and that's the guy who he got traded yesterday. But I think there's a couple of different things here. Number one, you're getting a young player back who you now have under contract for 6 years. So I think that immediately moves the equation. You're at least, you're not trading him for a guy you only have for 2 years. You're trading him for a guy you have for six. And number two, you know, you talk about the French thing. You know, they just came through a very difficult playoff where they lost in the first round, and then they had to watch as the guy they traded, a very popular player in the province, came within 2 wins of a Stanley Cup. And I wonder, you know, I always wonder, how much does that play? Do you look out and you say, here, boy, we need something that can excite our fans because they're mad at us? And I wonder how much of a factor that played into the trade. And Drouin will love the stage. If you saw the smile on his face yesterday and you read his quotes yesterday, you see a guy who's ready to jump into the deep end of the pool and embrace this. Some guys love that stage, and I think Drouin's going to be one of those guys.
Elliot Friedman, our guest, Brady and Price, Sportsnet's starting lineup. Don't forget, full week of coverage, NHL draft a week from tonight, which will be awesome. The Vegas Golden Knights make their picks on NHL Awards Night on the 21st. We talked about this earlier. There's 120-plus pro sports teams. There's probably no market where the language matters more, as we're saying. Like I said today, the Jays could acquire Miguel Cabrera today, and no one's going to be like, his English. No one's doing that. But ask Kirk Muller, ask Mike Keane. They've all lived this, right? Shane Corson. They all lived this in Montreal where it mattered a lot. And like you said, Drouin checks all. Yeah, but they fell for Sakou a little bit. It's almost like we forgive the European players for not speaking French. We don't forgive North American players like Brian Gionta for never getting it quite down, right?
Well, I think that there. I mean, there's certainly. I remember when Randy Cunningworth was hired.
Oh.
You know, he got destroyed, and he never got a fair shot. And I remember, I can't remember which paper it was. It might have been the Journal de Montréal, but I can't remember. They ran like a headline on the front page. I think it was at the bottom of the front page in English when the Canadians lost a game. And that was a real shot at the fact that Cunningworth couldn't speak French. And yes, it matters. And you're probably right. In North America, probably doesn't matter anywhere as much as it matters in Montreal.
So much so that there was a joke yesterday on Twitter wondering if Drouin's French was good enough for Montreal. And that's the way it is. I don't think people that haven't lived there realize just how crazy
or
that whole thing is.
His English is not broken enough. They want his English to be more broken, let alone the French being good. That's the problem.
You know, it's funny too because I think the other GMs in the league and other teams in the league, they kind of recognize it. Like they looked at that trade yesterday. There's a couple of them that looked at that trade yesterday as, you know, is that really a good trade for Montreal? And, you know, I said to one of them, I mean, I don't think you have the pressures in your market that the Canadians do. And he said, you know, I'd really hate to have to make a trade under those circumstances. And I said, I agree with you and I understand why you're saying that. But when you take that job in Montreal, you know that it's a little different. It's the hardest market, I think, in the league to play in. It's the most rewarding, but it's also the toughest because the media coverage is also different in Montreal. It's a lot more, you know, Quebec's media is there. I mean, they are tough, and it's the media people are almost as big stars as the players in some places. And secondly, I know they think that in English Canada we're a bunch of crazy gossips who make stuff up. You know, in Quebec it's even more pointed than that. So yes, I think the pressures of the job and the reaction yesterday to getting Drouin shows you the difference of being the GM of the Montreal Canadiens, a French superstar, as opposed to being the GM anywhere else in this league.
Elliot Friedman joining us. Not a big sports conspiracy guy at all, but I'd ask you, because people are going to talk about it, how important is Vegas' success in early days for the league? This isn't Winnipeg getting their team back or even the Minnesota Wild, but I look at Atlanta and I saw all the top five picks and they never got off the ground, and it's a tough sports town anyway. We don't have a perception as to how it'll be 3-4 years from now. Does the team build to a big move to be really good after year 5 or 6, or will people be clamoring for results, playoffs by the third year, that kind of thing?
Well, I think the best indication we're going to get, Greg, is, you know, what this roster looks like after it's drafted and maybe a couple days after it's drafted. Like, I'm curious now, like, if a guy like Mark Methot is left unprotected by Ottawa, as we think he's going to be as it stands right now, does Vegas take a Mark Methot and keep him? Or does he take a Mark Methot and flip him to another team that Methot will go to? And, like, that's what I'm curious about. The best players that Vegas gets, what does it do with them? Does it keep them, or do they start making deals with other teams to get even more young assets or assets that they didn't have already? I think that's the truest indication of what Vegas thinks about itself and how good it's going to be quickly. After spending a Stanley Cup in Nashville, I think the most important thing for the Golden Knights is going to be, not only is the hockey entertaining, but is the show entertaining? And, you know, if you take a look at them and you look at Cirque du Soleil and everything that they've done a deal with to get them as part of their entertainment, you know, an expansion team, there's a chance they could be decent, especially if they have a guy like Fleury in goal. He's gonna keep them in a lot of games. But I don't think we're expecting them to challenge for anything in the short term. So I think, A, they've got to be entertaining, and B, they're experience has got to be entertaining. And I think if they get those two things done, they're going to be okay.
All right, so let's talk about the Leafs. The defenseman that they're looking for, this might be a unique season because of this expansion draft. Some teams are left in a position where they can't keep everybody. The Leafs calling someone. Is someone calling the Leafs? And if that's the case, who they calling?
Well, I think the one thing that Toronto has is a real advantage to them is they don't have any issues with the expansion draft. They're like, if you look at Minnesota, they're definitely tight still. Anaheim has to do some things to protect itself. One of the reasons Tampa made that deal yesterday with Drouin to Montreal and not Minnesota, who I think was a team that was really chasing Jonathan Drouin, is because Sergachev doesn't hurt them in an expansion way. So Toronto isn't hurt by that. I think it gives them flexibility. You know, the Leafs are tight. They do a very good job of keeping information tight under Lamoriello. I think, though, that my guess is what we're looking at here is we are looking at the Maple Leafs recognizing they've got a 2-year window to do something big before they have to really start paying everybody. You know, Nylander's got the one more year under contract. Marner and Matthews have two. And I think they look at those three guys, and I think Nylander has shown that he's going to be a heck of a player, too, along with the other two guys. They have a 2-year window to really go for it. And that's why I think they're sitting there and they're looking at it and saying, what allows us to be the best team we can be for the next 2 years and make a charge at this? And that's what I think they're looking at. I think that would not surprise me if, you know, they pull out something big that has us all going, okay, we're not sure if we really saw that, but not surprised it happens.
Elliot, some interesting comments from Drew Doughty yesterday, who made the rounds, so he had a lot to say, and some was on this side and some was on that side. As far as guys want to be a Leaf is concerned, he said, oh, sure, kids from Ontario want to be Leafs, and yet the celebrity of being a Toronto Maple Leaf and trying to be anonymous in Toronto makes it very difficult sometimes. So what's he saying? What does that mean?
Well, I think what he's saying is that, well, first of all, Doughty is he's a great interview, and he proved that yesterday with everything he did. And I think that if he came here, he'd be a big star, not just because he's a great player. I think because, you know, I think he'd probably have to check himself. Some of the things he says in L.A. probably would gain a lot more traction out here simply because of the hockey media. I think what he's saying is that, I'm from Toronto. If I was good enough to play in the NHL myself, I would want to be here. I would want that stage. I would want to be part of it. I'd want to be a person who could end Toronto's Stanley Cup drought if I was good enough to do it. I kind of like that myself. I like that pressure. But it's not for everybody. It depends on how you're wired. And I think what Doughty is saying is, you know, he would love the challenge. I think that every player who plays in Toronto goes through a phase where they are tired of it. But the thing is, the one thing I really believe, guys, is that the world is changing. There's still a lot of media. There's a lot of wish to consume information. But there's not as many people in the media as it used to be. When Toronto made the playoffs in 2013 against Boston, I remember going to the game day skates, and you couldn't talk to anybody in that room. This year against Washington, you could. And I don't think that's because there's less interest. I just think there's less people in the media. And the other thing that I think that changes a lot now, too, guys, is that where does all the noise come from? It doesn't come from the traditional media. It comes from social media. And that will find you no matter where you are, because it's just everywhere. So I think we're going to see a change. I think people are going to realize that no matter where you are, the noise is going to find you if you allow it to. And I think you'll see a generation of players saying, you know what, if I'm not sure it's going to be too much different in Toronto than anywhere else.
So people watch you on TV. They think they know you real well. Give me an athlete. I got to meet Dan Marino yesterday. I waited my whole life. I'd never interviewed him on the phone. Like we've had Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan even, but I'd never been next to Dan Marino and gotten to talk to him. Have you had a guy, and these guys made fun of me because I had heart palpitations.
It was embarrassing, really.
Shocked at my reaction. Have you ever had that moment?
It wasn't an athlete, but when I was working at the Score, and I think it was 1999, we did the Major League Baseball All-Star Week in Seattle.
Yeah.
And whatever year the All-Star Game was in Seattle, 99, 2001, whenever it was. So I'm on the Sunday, 2 days before the game, there's the celebrity softball game. And I was like in one of those phases of my career where I'm like, I'm not covering this. Like, this is beneath me. I'm not doing this.
Oh, wow. That happened. Yeah. So like the Sid Sixero type phase.
Yeah,
so really.
I was having my Sid Sixero moment. Which I'm embarrassed to admit now, but it did occur. So I'm leaning against the dugout watching this craziness going on. I've got my pass on, and all of a sudden somebody taps my pass. And says that person up there in the stands is trying to ask me for an autograph. Can you give me? Do you have a pen? And I turn, and it was Vanessa Williams. And I couldn't speak. I was like blah 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 blah. It was just an embarrassing performance.
You went full Cliff Clavin.
And I finally blurted out, "I'm not security. I'm a member of the media. I'm sorry." And even worse, I didn't have a pen. So she's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to misidentify you." It was so embarrassing. I couldn't even speak.
But if I had the same physical reaction to Dan Marino that you had to Vanessa Williams, I should probably get a checkup or something. That's now like what, you weren't that much of a fan of her music or her. You were just smitten with her right away then.
Her beauty care products.
I don't want to even ask about the pen. I don't want to ask about the penthouse pictures.
Would probably be when the NBA first came to town, and I was still a young reporter at that time. The first time the Bulls came to town with Jordan.
Yeah, yeah.
Watching him command a scrum.
Yeah.
Like he had presence, and when you asked him a question, like when there's 50 microphones around a guy, there's a lot of guys who just look down. Or if you asked him a question, he looked right at you.
He looks you dead in the eye, and he's got to get fully dressed. He was the first athlete that will not, he won't even be in any kind of partial. The earrings have to go in. It all has to be ready, right?
Yeah, it's the one bad thing he did. He created that legacy of you're waiting for I'm fully dressed until I talk to you. So that was the worst thing that ever happened in the NBA, I got to tell you.